Pope Benedict is due to leave Rome on Saturday morning, headed for Prague at the start of a three-day pastoral visit to the Czech Republic. The Pope will meet with the Czech president and government officials, travel to the city of Brno in the South Moravia region, and celebrate Mass to mark the feast of St. Wenceslas, patron saint of the nation, before returning to Rome on Monday afternoon.
The beauty of the Czech Republic depends very much on the Church and what they are proud of. What the tourists go to see is things which were created by the Church or inspired by the faith.
Archbishop Diego Cauzero is the apostolic nuncio to the Czech Republic. He sat down with Linda Bordoni, who will also be travelling to Prague for this visit, to discuss church-state relations and the hopes for the Czech Church ahead of the Pope's journey.
We had established the relations with the Czech Republic, the Czechoslovak Republic, already at the beginning of the 20s. The nuncio was also the dean of the diplomatic corps. They were suspended in 1950 because the nuncio and everybody in the apostolic nunciature was declared persona non grata.
This was during the communist regime.
Yes. Then again, nuncio went there at the beginning of the 90s, and since then we are in Prague. They still recognize us as deans of the diplomatic corps by privilege. And as for the substantial, problems of our diplomatic life, we are very much respected. So we don't have real problems with the authorities. There are certain problems existing between the Church and the Czech Republic.
Are you referring to the properties?
We have a few pending issues. One is an agreement between the Czech Republic and the Holy See, which was negotiated and then signed in 2002. But it was never ratified by the Parliament. In spite of the fact that the Parliament, the majority of the representatives in the Parliament belonged to the majority who, negotiated the agreements. Then there is a second issue.
Sorry, this agreement has to do with the properties?
No, the properties is an issue
which is
internal,
okay.
Church and state.
Right.
Of course, the Holy See is very much interested. It should be solved because it will end a sort of controversy which has always been there, causing, misunderstandings since the year 1948. This second issue, the properties of the Church, is still pending. First, the object of the properties are usually rural properties or forest properties, because the churches and the houses of the priests were always considered a property of the Church. In principle, the idea they had was what is directly necessary for the worship belongs to the Church. What is not necessary belongs to the state. So they have nationalized all the rest. They tried recently to in a project of law to find a solution, which was a good solution and also a good project of law for the Church and I suppose for everybody, because also the local administrations are interested in the solution of this, because these properties have a sort of clause of block which is established by law by which nobody can use them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still there. At times they are in the middle of a city or in the middle of a town. They should be they would be useful for the planners, but they cannot act on that. So until now, there is no solution. In spite of this project of law last year, the solution did not make any step forward. There were a few parliamentarians who were not in favor of the solution, saying that there was an excessive recompense given to the church.
That's what I was going to ask. Does the church want the properties back, or is it ready to accept compensation for them?
Oh, yes. Mainly it is compensation. At least according to this project of law, there was one-third of the properties that would be given back. And the remaining two-thirds would be compensated.
And it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yes, it is a lot. But practically for 50 years, it has been taken from the church and it has been used by the state. So the church does not want to receive back, say, what was lost during this period. It would like to have only the properties, or compensation where the properties cannot be defined anymore, or the properties could not be given back because at times there is something built on them. Another pending issue is, so it is, the agreement between church and state, the properties, the cathedral.
The cathedral of
the
St.
Cathedral,
Vitus.
It is, yes, St. Vitus.
St. Vitus.
Yes, and that's also a special issue because the cathedral is just inside a sort of territory which is called the castle. And it is surrounded by the walls, etc. And the castle walls, the former residence of the king or of the emperor, and it is the actual residence of the presidency. Residence, not real. It is the place where the president lives during the normal days of work. And now, in 54, the cathedral was declared property of the state. Really not. Property of the people of the Czech Republic. And then the conclusion was that the people of the Czech Republic is the state. So
now this is very much to do with material issues, but I think the church in the Czech Republic may be quite challenged as regards spiritual issues.
Yes, yes.
Does the Czech population very much carry the scars of communism?
The first issues are rather, say, if you want material, it is true. They should be solved because they would give a sort of peace and mutual understanding between the two parties. But of course, it is true also that the main problem of the church is of a different character in the Czech Republic. It is a country that in its majority is not, say, a country of believers. It is rather, they say, we are atheists, which is not true either. But there is a very large sector of agnostics.
Why do you say it's not true that they're atheists?
Because they are not, say, directly against the recognition of a god, of a superior entity. They are against, especially, the registered religions. So, in fact, in the census, in 2001, 59% of the Czech declared themselves as not affiliated to any religion. 30% more or less Catholics, and possibly 5% belonging to a lot of other Christian denominations. There are 22 or 23 officially registered in the country, and they make up altogether, I would say, no more than 5%.
But a long time has passed since the end of communism. In a sense, in 20 years, we have new generations on the scene.
No, it is true. There is a sort of hostility towards the church because the secularism of the Czech Republic is not founded only on the communist period. Usually I say that in the Czech Republic for 200 years, starting from the year, say, 1800, there has been a sort of cultural position hostile to the church. First, position was the one prevailing in all over Europe during the 19th century, a sort of secularism opposing religion and science. If I want to see a sort of connection, I would say this is a French position which has become prevailing all over Europe during that century. So if you want to be modern, if you want to be up to date, and say in good terms with science, you cannot accept religion. Then, during the Czech period, during the communist period, of course, there was a different sort of secularism. based on the fact that the church is accused, is blamed for refusing to accept the sort of social life or promoting a social, sort of social life where you have more participation, attention to the poor, etc. So 200 years of popular culture which was against the church. And the main idea at the beginning was the church is against the constitution of a new state, the Czechoslovak Republic. And now it is the church has been against, or it is a sort of force of energy which is against the establishment of a society of equality.
But I know that when the wall actually came down in 89, 90, there was a feeling, a rebirth, let's say,
yes,
spirituality. I think people were probably starved for spirituality. And the church also was a galvanizing factor during
yes,
the years of
true,
communism.
True.
What happened?
Now, the church suffered a lot during the years of communism, especially in the Czech Republic. Also, many of the present bishops have been in prison.
Yes.
Yes. But, of course, they have lived in a situation where they feel that they are not part of the society, but a sort of organism which is against the society. In the last 20 years, of course, there was, say, sort of happiness that the walls came down. But in spite of that, I would say the church didn't find a proper way to present itself. The church is still viewed as a sort of enemy of the Czech people by a good majority. Even if there are groups, there is minority, which is the main minority in the Czech Republic, it is the 30% of the Catholics. But not only that, there are different groups, very active and very vivacious in religious life, but they are few. And what they need a sort of leadership coming probably from bishops, coming probably from the priests, in order to be able to influence again the life of the Czech Republic. And the church has many reasons for doing that, because, say, the past of the Czech Republic has been depending very much from the presence of the church. I say at times that the beauty of the Czech Republic depends very much on the church. And what they are proud of is, the Czech are proud of, what the tourists go to see is things which were created by the church or inspired by the faith. That is certainly true. And the general landscape of the Czech Republic is a Christian one.
Mm-hmm.
You arrive, you will see Prague, and you will see that I've come here in a city of churches and beautiful churches. They have created also a sort of Baroque art, which is probably the most beautiful in Europe. And a sort of architectural style in the churches, where the churches appear, say, beautiful, joyous churches of a time when the church was victorious, something like that.
What you've been saying up to now makes me think that Pope Benedict's responsibility will be a great one in this upcoming trip.
A great one. I suppose especially it should be, in the sense that it revives the church, it gives unity, and it gives a little bit of enthusiasm, of energy, of fervor to the church, bishops and priests and faithful. And that is the hope I have. Of course, miracles cannot be performed easily. But anyway, that should be the main aim of the visit of the Pope. The problems which are pending with the state will find a solution one day. But what the Church needs is a better knowledge of the faith, a sort of community convinced, full of consciousness of the role to play in the society. And the community that considers that it has to give a contribution to a better social life to the Czech people. Because they will improve either together or the church will not improve at all alone.
Thanks there to Archbishop Diego Causero, Apostolic Nuncio to the Czech Republic, talking to my colleague Linda Bordoni. And Linda will be travelling to Prague to keep us up to date with all the Pope's activities during his 3-day pastoral visit to the Czech Republic.